Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Crystal Mims, joined today by
Robert Lees, Assistant Features Editor.
And Joseph Avila, Assistant News Editor.
Welcome to the newsroom, the people behind the paper. Okay, so today in the newsroom, we're going to be talking about the recent spring splash heat decision that was made and hopefully actually confirmed and official this time, as well as the Iowa caucus and midterms and Writers Week. Yes. So we're going to get started with heat and spring splash. So it was recently decided that heat is going to be canceled, like it's just going to remain canceled, and they're not going to put it in the title with spring splash, because initially they were going to try to say that heat and spring splash were just happening on the same day, and it was both, you know, they're just different concerts but on the same day. So it's been confirmed that there's just going to be a really long and hopefully really cool spring splash. So what do you guys think about that? Are you happy, sad?
I was like there for it, and I'm someone who doesn't really care for festivals because I'm not like a big festival person in general. And I feel like the arguments that were being used at the ASUCR Senate were like, this is gonna like dampen student morale. Like, that's at the heart of why we need to save heat and say that, because we told students that we were gonna give it to them, and now we're not, and now they're gonna like be, I don't know, just like hating like the world, I guess. But it was a very interesting arguments, because they made it out to be a lot more dire to like our situation than it actually is. Like, they use words like identity and culture, like in relation to heat. I mean, heat's it's cool, but it's not like a cultural touchstone. Like, it's not, or at least it's not an important cultural thing,
man,
for me.
Like, heat 2013 was like the second Woodstock, man. No, I remember a lot of people were really salty last year when it happened. Like, people, because there's always the whole thing where people line up for tickets and they don't get them, and they're selling them like, man, I got two heat tickets, $80, and there's people that buy them, you know?
Right.
Like, I can hear the music from my house, which is always kind of nice. And after it got canceled, a lot of people, like, a lot of money went nowhere, and a lot of people bought tickets that are worthless. But this year, it just seems like everyone was just kind of bummed, but I don't see as much rage. And I'm glad that Spring Splash will be nice. It'll be even better if I actually get to go.
Oh, yeah.
Because I thought, you know, like, it's my last quarter here, and I know it's, I think it's yours and a few other people. And I hope that they give us some tickets for Spring Splash, because I think heat is typically students only, or it's mostly a student thing. Or is that Block Party?
No.
Block Party is only
heat
student.
Heat is open to the public.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I think also people were really angry, because people were here, you know, and it was supposed to be happening.
Yeah. So I hope, I want to get a ticket. I hope they do something for us students that are graduating midterm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's our tuition anyways, too. Mm-hmm. Like,
I still have to pay. I still have paid the money for it.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that I heard that they go into reserves. Like, I don't know exactly. Like, they do plan on putting it back into the, into the, you know, into the students, I hope. But like, I feel like if they're not, they haven't moved it since last heat, then a lot of things went into, a lot of money went into reserves, and I'm just wondering what exactly it is they're going to do with all this money that they didn't spend.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I mean, if we graduate and they still haven't made a decision, that's still, I mean, whether or not it's a lot of money, it still is some money from us that they pulled and are just like, oh well, we're going to do something better for them. I mean, cool, pass it on to people who are going to come, but I think they should have either distributed back the money if they weren't going to students, whether it is a dollar or two or however. I don't know exactly what the fees are. Some of them are ridiculous, but I don't know what heat is.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm happy that this is kind of official now, because I just don't know. I was always like, what's really going on? But I mean, I think in general, like you said, people were kind of like disappointed that it wouldn't be happening, but it wasn't like before the last time it was canceled, when you know, everyone was like ready to go, and they just canceled it like 30 minutes
almost
an hour
too.
Before
Childish Gambino,
yes,
was gonna be there.
He's Sierra, my favorite. I was so sad.
Yeah.
Would have been a cool heat.
It really would have.
Last time they canceled it because of rain. Like, they couldn't have held a festival. There's too much rain. But now they're like, well, it might be rainy, and the things might fall down.
I know. So
I mean, the grass in that area is always soft, though. So I guess it does make sense from an engineering perspective. You think they could like put guidelines to, like, guide wires to, you know, bolt into the concrete or something? Yeah. They could have. I don't know. I think they could have done it, but so how official is it? Because it's still kind of in flux, like some of the things. So there's not going to be heat. That's totally
yeah,
clear.
There's just no
and
heat.
Is it for sure that Spring Splash is going to be the springiest splash of all
yeah.
time?
It's going to be like yeah. an all-day concert mm-hmm, now. Mm-hmm. They're just not slapping the name heat on it. Yeah. Like I was going to ask you guys that too. Like, what do you think ASPB was right to say, you know, we don't want to be associated with heat? You know, we just want to keep this Spring Splash.
I think so. Yeah. That would just be really token if they're just like, welcome to the heat / Spring Splash yeah. 2016.
Yeah. When it really is like all of just people, ASPB putting on Spring Splash.
Exactly.
The Hub puts on
heat. Yeah. Heat.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. Maybe the Hub can have like a competing event.
Same. No, yeah, I just think one point that was made that I was reading in the article was that they were saying, you know, I don't know why you guys really think you can trick students into thinking that you're giving them two, like, concerts, yeah. you know, Heat and Spring Splash, when it's just mm-hmm. the same day and just yeah. a really long concert. Like, you're not fooling anyone, you know? Like, yeah. it's kind of like to say, oh, yeah, this is Heat and Spring Splash. Like, you guys aren't giving us two yeah. concerts. So it's not really what students had in mind when, you know, the survey went out and everything. People thought it was going to be like a two-day type situation.
Yeah,
I have to say, I feel for you news guys, because I've never been to... Oh, I've goodness. Been to a couple, but I've like never really had to go to an ASCCR meeting or yeah. cover Senate stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy because yeah. it doesn't sound fun.
It's
I have friends in student government, like in the Senate, but I'm glad that I don't have to
yeah,
ever be part of it.
It's interesting, especially the last meeting. It was very circular. Like, our quote of the week is something like, we've been sitting here arguing about a name for an hour.
Yeah.
And it kind of really was like, I mean, it's just, I don't know, like...
It depends on what your definition of is.
Exactly. Exactly. It was very circular, very like, what?
I'm
like
caging myself on jokes like that.
So, yeah. what do you guys think should be done about heat in the future? Because, I mean, they haven't said they're permanently canceling this concert, you know. Things just didn't really work out this year, you know, like it did 2 years ago. But anyway, so what do you guys think? I mean, should they try to schedule it at another time? Because obviously weather seems to always be a mm-hmm. concern, or, you know.
Well, there's students that have been here more than a year that heat is just some broken promise. That's all they're going to associate. Yeah. I think if... the chancellor's talked about building, like, a big stadium or something, or we have, you know, all this room. Maybe we should, like, make heat, or it doesn't even have to be heat, like, the Winter Festival, like, a small kind of intimate, like, you know, like, there's just little concerts happening around campus. Yeah. Like, why not on a Saturday and, like, open up, like, INTS 1122, open up, like, the basketball court, open up parts of the Hub, and just, like, all these big rooms. Like, there's that huge room in the Hub, like, I think 329, where they have events. And just have a bunch of, like, local talent or just kind of, like, small-name, up-and-coming indie artists. Yeah. Like, you can have the big-name kind of ones and, like, the more top 40 music at the other two concerts, but maybe, like, just have a little bit of, like, an amuse-bouche of different...
Excuse me?
It's French for, like, an appetizer.
In here.
I know. Just have, like, a small smattering of just different artists and make heat kind of, like, the really chill one.
Oh, yeah.
That we can have inside because it's winter. Yeah. And the other ones can be the really big ones. Because then, like, yeah. I don't think Spring Splash or Block Party really get canceled that often.
Yeah. That would be a good idea, too. Like, I don't know if we have that too much. I mean, I know that sometimes we have local artists, but...
Yeah, like, the barn tries yeah. to, like, pool.
But still, like, that would be a cultural thing. For us,
yeah.
that would be more cultural yeah. than getting, you know, I mean, it's cool to get artists too, but if you're going to talk about, like, you know,
cultural,
yeah.
cultural
you have
things. To have the local UCR culture.
Yeah,
there are
exactly.
some really awesome bands.
Yeah.
At,
oh, yeah, there are.
UCR, like Quinta Peñas, is playing at Noche Cultural this yep. Saturday, UCR Theater. Might be worth
right.
checking out.
Yeah.
Plug.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, every time I've seen them, they're really
they
good.
They blow me away.
Yeah.
They're really
mm-hmm.
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's a good idea because I feel like people are always like, oh, well, we get the biggest people for heat and like, but Spring Splash relatively pulls like the same, I don't know, I feel like artists on the same level
yeah.
and Block Party too, they do a good job
yeah.
of mm-hmm. getting, I don't know, a big name. So mm-hmm. if that's like a concern, I don't really think it should be.
Yeah.
And I don't know, hopefully they figure it out. Who are you guys hoping comes to Spring Splash?
I've always just wanted SZA to come, and I think I've
yes.
said it before on these shows, but because I think she's like a good name art, like she's like it's a good like type of artist that would be good to. She's probably not super expensive, but she's well enough known, and she's a great talent. And she recently came out on Rihanna's album, on the album opener, yeah. Consideration. That's a really good song.
Really good.
Yeah, it's a really good collab between them. And, yeah, SZA would be someone that I would want to see.
Honestly,
anyone for you?
Yeah, I just like a lot of indie bands. I don't know. The National are, like, winding down. It'd be cool to have a show with them.
Heck yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully, hey, you never know. We get these people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So we're going to switch gears now to more serious stuff. The Iowa caucus recently happened, and we had Cruz take it in for the Republicans and Clinton for the Democrats. Although Sanders was very close.
She's not declared the winner.
It was like 49.9%.
Yeah. She's versus 49.6.
Yeah.
Martin O'Malley dropped out. Those votes
went
down to
Bernie. Poor guy.
And he was such a good mayor of Baltimore that they made two shows about his tenure, The Homicide and The Wire. Okay, just that joke was taken from Weekend Update with Colin Jones SNL, but I still think that is the best thing you can say about his candidacy. Yeah. Also, who's Martin O'Malley?
Yeah.
He's, I know.
Establishment Democrat, like complete template of a Democrat.
Yeah, that's what I always think. I'm always like, he seems like the, like, you know, mm-hmm. ideal mm-hmm. candidate, and like, but I just don't ever think about him all that much. I'm just like, you know, but I don't
just
know.
Just to talk about the importance of the Iowa caucus, I have some numbers here.
Ooh, cool
from the Republican beans. Side, because they always have way more candidates. In 2008, the winner of the Iowa caucus was Mike Huckabee.
He
usually drops out by about the third primary. Mitt Romney was in second. And John McCain, who did get the nomination, tied with Fred Thompson. Who's Fred Thompson? I don't know. I didn't click on the YouTube, on the Wikipedia link. And then in 2012, Senator Rick Santorum tied with Mitt Romney. Rick Santorum is known as a guy that's like, doesn't get to go to the debates and has this deer in the headlights look. Yeah. And also, don't look up his name on Google because there's a alternate definition that I won't repeat on the radio. But yeah, so I honestly think that when it comes down to it, the New Hampshire primary and the Iowa caucus kind of mean nothing, because it's honestly just kind of a thing, and that it's considered a religious right kind of state, especially looking at the GOP. Mm-hmm. And Ted Cruz has the religious right vote.
Oh, definitely.
So honestly, though, when it comes to like South Carolina or New York or like some of the other big states, I don't think he's going to tread any water. Yeah. It's a nice little participation award for getting destroyed later in the primaries.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see. You know, there's a very I was talking to my friend Ian, my roommate Ian, last night about how just interesting times we really live in. Like, all these elections make calling the game change, like the movie or in the book about the 2008 elections, like, it makes it sound silly, because these elections are just complete, like, what's going on, man? Like, what is going on? These are some interesting times we live in.
Yeah.
Like,
and if you look at a 50-50 split, Ted Cruz got 27.7% of at most 50% of the country's vote, which is like a quarter of a half, so like an eighth? That's about...
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many that people are going to have to drop off, and then the numbers will start to agglutinate to other candidates. So, I mean, Mike Huckabee, the winner in 2008, dropped out after last night, so... All these people were like, man, you could have been our next president. No, apparently not.
No, I don't know. I couldn't see that. I can't.
What do you guys think about Sanders and Clinton being so close? Because I know some people, I know a lot of people our age, and a lot of people are in support of Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
But I feel like everyone kind of thinks that Hillary is just going to take it, but it was pretty close. So
anything, it proves that she's not as secure as the establishment and herself might like to believe she is.
Yeah.
I mean, some of those delegate choices came down to a coin toss.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was
interesting.
I feel like it's like we couldn't think of anything better. Mm-hmm. Like maybe asking people. That'd be like if like there's a hung jury and it's like, all right, guys, let's just put the coin. Like, but then
American
again, like
way.
It's only Iowa. It's not a big deal. Like, I think when you just have, like, numerical votes, it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Unless they get, like, an even tie, but the odds of that are happening are a lot lower than a tie in, like, a bunch of people meeting in a post office in the middle of nowhere, Iowa.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what was cool about it was that Bernie was like such an, like, you know, early on everyone was like, oh, he's not an electable candidate and he's not going to make it very far. And like, but I think that this caucus shows, like, these results show that he's a lot, he's a bigger force to reckon with, like, and because he does run on a he is very populist, and he also
grassroots.
And he also is like exactly the super PACs, which are which have dominated the scene since like 2010, right? Was Citizens United, when all this money, like billions and billions of dollars, are going into our political, like, you know, the political machine right now. And Bernie is like he's a good example of like people being aware of this and not like wanting to, you know, subscribe to these ideas that, oh, it's fine if we just put billions of dollars into democracy. Like, that's, you know, at least it's one of his big points.
Yeah. Now there's actually kind of something trending on Facebook about people asking to show the votes to see if there was any fraud, but I honestly, I don't think it'll get any traction.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much officially a tie.
Yeah.
It's 21 to 20. That's like
a hair of a percentage.
Hair's breadth.
Yeah. So, I mean, Trump came in second. I mean, I know, like you said, you kind of think the Iowa caucus doesn't really mean much. Do you think he's still kind of the front runner in that
situation? I think that what I can say about Trump is I used to think, oh, he's going to get the nomination, but I realize the landscape's changing. Stuff won't be finalized until, like, more April. I think what Trump is doing is his polarization is guiding the... it's guiding the discussion on the GOP side, and I feel like it's pulling some people farther to the right, and it's also pushing some other people to the center. Like, Marco Rubio has actually been trying to, like, pulling in a few more centrist votes, basically just because he's distancing himself from some of Trump's policies.
Yeah.
So...
Which is interesting, because
I mean,
Marco Rubio is not...
Because typically, it's like, on the national scale, people get pulled to the left, but they're actually getting pushed to the center by the force of Trump's sheer, I guess you could say, magnetism, if magnets could be terrible.
Yeah, Trump is... he's the most enigmatic... You know, part of, I think, this whole thing this year is
definitely
like,
interesting. It's almost like a louder Ross Perot, who's another businessman turned politician.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
What do you think, Crystal?
I feel like I'm always waiting for him to be like, joke's over, like the show's over, you know?
He wins in his inauguration speech, like Ashton Kutcher comes out. America, you've been punked.
Like, I don't know, like, because I really can't believe some of the things that he lets come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And, like, it just seems like such a joke that we're all, like, sitting here having to watch this man, like, say he wants to be president of the United States. And I don't know.
Yeah. I think if you take any statement that he said about anything, any issue, like, and just, like, freeze that, that's, like, a good representation of, like, the times. It's like you just read the structure of his grammar and the things that the way he says things, like, in succession, he says things that are contradictory to each other, and it's like, what? Like, and people are listening to this and are saying, like, he's saying what I'm thinking, or he's saying what I want to. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I remember I thought Bush said some really funny things,
right?
But that's just because he was making a gaffe, like, you know, misunderestimate. But Trump, it's like, is he doing it intentionally?
Yeah.
Because it's almost funny in a really, really sad way. Like, I don't know. It's crazy. But
yeah.
Crystal, I think you said it perfectly, so I won't say anymore.
The
joke. It's what?
Hopefully, man. I don't know. I'm still hoping the joke will be over soon. But, you know.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Highlander Newsroom, broadcasting on KUCR 88.3 FM, streaming online at KUCR.org, on the KUCR app from the App Store, or the TuneIn app on Android. All right, so back to more student, I don't know, campus things. Midterms are among us. It is week 5 already. I can't believe it.
What, 5?
Okay. Yeah, so have you guys started taking midterms?
I took one 3rd week, and I'll have one 7th week. I have a paper due next week. But other than that, I feel pretty lax. I think in general, because my major doesn't call for midterms, creative writing doesn't really have too many things that you turn in the middle of the period, so that's always been cool. So I kind of am not really too... My strategies for midterms are not too developed, I guess you would say.
La dernière semaine, j'ai un examen pour français. And I passed. So that's pretty good. I have one on Wednesday, but it's just basically, here's a list of terms, define them with one sentence. So not too many multiple choice. But yeah, I only have two more classes this quarter because it's my last quarter. One is one day a week and the other one is French. So yeah, I'm looking forward to being done, but luckily our French teacher is kind enough to give us an exam early and then like week 10. That's it. So no, nothing during this week.
I feel like I'm in the same boat as you, Joseph, because I'm an English major and I'm taking all upper divs now. And so it's kind of just like, write this paper and turn it in. There's no really like, let's sit down and take this test. So in that way, it's good. But I feel like I've become a bit lazy with writing papers. So I will suggest to everyone to start early. I mean, I say that all the time and I don't even listen to myself. So like...
At least you're getting it out there.
Yeah, I'm going to spread that positive energy because that's good energy. Don't procrastinate because like, you'll regret it and like I'm going to regret it too. But just that's my advice, I guess.
Yeah. I would just say that the master has failed more times than the amateur has tried. Just believe in yourself and just do your best.
I had to think about it for a second. Yeah.
I think a good strategy that I just thought of right now is like make sure you give yourself a break and you walk outside and you...
That's great.
The air is not the greatest quality here, but like walk outside and know that there's light there and like let it hit your skin. And like because you can really like, you know... I know that midterms and finals, sometimes when you do crunch, like, you do feel really drained and you feel really, like, you know, like, you feel not yourself. Like, you can feel really, like, I remember during finals week last quarter, someone was just like, were you okay last, like, during the finals week? Like, you seemed really out of it. And I was like, yeah, that's just, that's just, you know, how it can be.
I think that's good advice, and I find myself taking periodic breaks. Like, you know, I'll play video games and watch YouTube for 2 hours and study for 5 minutes, and then. I find that it's just good to try to like find a nice comfortable position, have a big bowl of snacks that are high in fats and carbs because they just wire your body to feel happy, and just try to power through it. Also, sleep before an exam. The best thing, a big paper. If you sleep, your brain can kind of categorize everything. If you just try to go on no sleep, and since I have taken quite a few CNAS classes, I know this from experience, you need to give your brain time to relax and not be awake.
Yeah. So good luck on finals. Midterms. See, I'm already... I need to sleep. I need to sleep, obviously. Good luck on midterms. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, Writer's Week started this week. That is basically, you could go hear a bunch of great poets, writers, share their work. It's going on throughout the entire week. So, have you guys been to any events?
I actually did. I kind of... just being assistant features, I let everything fill up and take what's left over. And I always find myself dreading Writer's Week. I did last time I went, and I actually had a really great time. And today I actually went, and today's kind of poetry day. I saw Juan Felipe Herrera standing outside.
Me too.
And I heard two poets. One was Harmony Holiday, and the other one is, I'm going to butcher your last name, I'm sorry, Amy Uyamatsu. And she was so good that as I left, they were smart enough to set up a cash register with a bunch of the books. I actually bought her book, The Yellow Door. Nice. And I'm looking forward to reading it because her poetry is super good.
Cool.
And I tell everyone to look her up or try to look at some of her things. And so I'm looking forward to it. And I have one other event that I'm going to on Thursday. And it's actually really good. And if you're like an English major or in CHAS or even in CNAS, just like... go and go to Writer's Week, and you can get out of class and be like, professor, this is like once a year, and it's only this quarter. You gotta let me skip this lecture to go to Writer's Week. And they might say yes.
Maybe, so, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. I should probably know more about the speakers there, but I always just go to them because the people there, you can never, like, you never, I don't know. I feel like sometimes the lectures that you can go to that are not, like, you know, academic lectures that are during, like, you know, that are for class, They can be hit or miss sometimes, but usually Writers Week is pretty solid. Like, you get some pretty interesting perspectives, and you get insight into, like, you know, either they're just writing, they're talking about the process, or they're telling you about the writing industry, which is very interesting in itself. So I encourage you to go, even if you don't know who these people are. Even if you don't recognize some of the names, you're guaranteed to get some stimulating.
I didn't recognize mine, stuff. And I had a fun time.
Yeah,
I actually went today too.
For an hour.
Yeah, I went today too, and I didn't recognize any of the names. Actually, last year I didn't either, but I just wanted to go because I love to read and I love to write, and so yeah, it was really cool. Just like listening to them go back and forth, like read their poems, and interact with the audience, and they each kind of like told, you know, stories relating to their poems, and like, you know, talked about their process, which I think is really helpful. It's like especially for English and like creative writing majors and things like that. So if you're at all interested, you should definitely check it out. I think it's the longest literary event like in California.
This is the 39th
really
one,
cool.
39th annual.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm going to be going to another one too, I think. Most likely.
Another one or two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I know they're just going on, like, all day, so just whenever I have time, you know.
Yep.
Stop by.
Yeah, there was a writer, I should know his last name. I'm not going to say it because I don't want to. I know his book, his literature, one of his books is called Salsa Nocturna, and I read some of his stories for my, intro to writing fantasy class, and that was, and his stuff is really good, and I probably am planning on catching him, but he takes like horror and like kind of like magical realism, and he mixes it with like a Chicano perspective or like a Latino perspective, and I think some writing like that, like hybrid writing or writing that's culturally specific, is always really, it's always the most intriguing, you know, things like so yeah, just thought I'd plug him.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. Like, actually, one of the poets today, like, she mixes Spanish and English in her poetry. And it just makes it, like, she was saying, you know, sometimes she'll do it just because, like, the words will rhyme better if she does it that way. And sometimes it's just that's how she speaks. And so, like, that's how she writes. And, like, it comes together really well. It makes it, like, relatable and everything, so... It's really interesting to listen to people's creative process.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Highlander, or the Associated Students. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill. Good luck on midterms, and stay hydrated, and yeah, rest up.
Mm-hmm. All right, I just want to say, check out features. Sometimes we're relegated to the middle with like one page, but last week we had the Lunar Festival. Big center spread, thanks to Jessica Baker, Julia Schemmer, and Ashley Chung. You guys, your writing was great. And then this next issue, Writers Week, is going to be the center. So yeah, for at least 2 weeks, features is on top, and good luck on midterms and all that stuff. Get registered to vote.
Yeah, check out features and news. Check out features because I wrote my first features piece.
Yay!
And the layout by, you know, that Vicky did is really, really
always,
nice.
Always great.
Yeah, always tip-top. Oh yeah, and tune in on to my shows tomorrow from 2 to 3 here. Sorry, I just got changed. 2 to 3 here at KCR. It's called The Wiretap. Last week I talked about conspiracy theories. This week,
ooh.
Who knows?
Yeah.
So yeah, tune in.
All right, you guys. Thank you for listening.